More Than a Movie is back with Season 2. I'm your host, Alex Fumero. And each week, I'm going to talk to the people behind your favorite movies. From The Godfather, Andy Garcia.
He has the smarts of Vito, the temper of Sonny, the warmth of Fredo, and the coldness of Michael.
To the legend behind La Bamba, Lou Diamond Phillips.
When I walked in, I didn't think I had a shot at Richie because John Stamos's picture was already up on the wall.
Listen to More Than a Movie on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi, I'm Michael Rappaport.
And I'm Kibi Rappaport.
And together we're hosting Rappaport's Reality Podcast.
We have a passion for reality TV, and we're inviting you into our living room.
We're dissecting the drama, and we're giving praise to the single greatest form of entertainment on television today. That is right. Reality TV is the greatest form of entertainment on television today.
Listen to Rappaport's Reality with me, Kibi Rappaport.
And me, Michael Rappaport, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcast.
Hey, I'm Jay Shetty, and I'm the host of the On Purpose podcast. This week, I talked to Orlando Bloom in a rare interview where we went deep into how to get comfortable with fear and how to change the guilt and shame thought pattern.
People say, what are you afraid of, right? I'm afraid of fear because it's like I want to confront anything in my life that feels challenging on those levels.
Listen to On Purpose with Jay Shetty on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I want you to imagine being a United States citizen. This is real life. This is not hypothetical. And I want you to imagine assuming, thinking that you are a part of the greatest country in the world, that your country will protect you at all costs, that your life is valued by the United States government. There is almost a protective dome around you virtually everywhere in the world. Every human smuggler, every sex trafficker, every leader of any terrorist group, cartel in the world knows there will be a heavy price to pay if you abduct or kill an American citizen. That has been universal for my entire lifetime. That's been universal since World War I. For many people that are listening, World War II. There was a very clear message from the United States government to anyone in Canada, anyone in Mexico, anyone in Afghanistan, that if you screw with an American citizen, there will be hell to pay. You also knew that if the you know what hit the fan, that America was going to have your back because you're an American citizen, because your life is valuable, your life is important. Well, imagine, because this is real life now, being in Afghanistan. Imagine being one of the 10 to 20,000 Americans who are caught behind Taliban checkpoints, behind enemy lines, literally, and waiting for the United States government to come get you, or at least give you safe passage to them, or escorting you in a country that we have controlled for 20 years that we abandoned because of a president who is still on vacation as we speak. This is the note that Americans receive from the State Department. Dear citizens, thank you for registering your request to evacuate Afghanistan. This is the email you get as an American citizen. The U.S. Embassy in Afghanistan has confirmed that an undefined number of U.S. government-provided flights will soon begin. Then in italic bold, it says, quote, please make your way to the international airport at this time. An international airport that you can't get to because the Taliban has totally surrounded that airport, even though the American soldiers are on the ground within the perimeter of the airport. Please be advised, it then says in all capital letters and in bold. Please be advised that the United States government cannot guarantee your security as you make this trip. There is no help for you. There is no American help on the way. Now, the media has been trying to figure out a way to blame Donald Trump for all of this. Trump sat down with Sean Hannity on Fox News and explained the difference between his policy and Biden's and why no Americans were screwed with when he was president in Afghanistan. Take a listen.
I've had a number of people tell me that there were very specific conditions and very specific warnings that you gave personally to the Taliban. Joe Biden is trying to blame you. I want first to give you an opportunity to respond to that, your assessment of what's going on. And what was that conversation to the extent you feel you're able to share it with us?
Well, it's good to be with you, Sean, but it's a terrible time for our country. I don't think in all of the years our country has ever been so humiliated. I don't know, would you call it a military defeat or a psychological defeat? There's never been anything like what's happened here. It's you can go back to Jimmy Carter with the hostages. We all thought that was a great embarrassment, and we were pulled out of that by Ronald Reagan. This is many, many times worse, and you're dealing with thousands and thousands of Americans and others that are stranded and very dangerously, really stranded in Afghanistan. So it's something that you can't even believe that a thing like this could. I looked at that big monster cargo plane yesterday with people grabbing the side and trying to get flown out of Afghanistan because of their fear, their incredible fear, and they're blowing off the plane from 2,000 feet up in the air. It's nobody's ever seen anything like that. That blows the helicopters in Vietnam away. That's not even a contest. This has been the most humiliating period of time I've ever seen. Yeah, we had a great deal. We worked on it very hard. Mike Pompeo, a brilliant guy, and many others worked on it endlessly. Meetings with the Taliban. Of course, you have to meet with the Taliban. They're the ones that you're negotiating with. I spoke on numerous occasions to the head of the Taliban, and we had a very strong conversation. I told him up front, I said, look, before we start, let me just tell you right now that if anything bad happens to Americans or anybody else, or if you ever come over to our land, we will hit you with a force that no country has ever been hit with before, a force so great that you won't even believe it. And your village, and we know where it is, and I named it, will be the first one.
Mr. President, I want to interrupt.
Dropped right there.
You said this to who?
Yeah.
Who did you? You said
to
that to who?
To Mullah Baradar, who is probably the top person. Now, nobody really knows who the top person is, but I would say that's probably the top person. And it seems to be that's the way it's rolling right now. But I had a very strong conversation. I also had a good conversation with him. We talked for a while after that. That was the primary point I was making, and he understood it. And I asked him, do you understand? He said, yes, I do understand. And I wanted them to get a deal done with the Afghan government. Now, I never had a lot of confidence, frankly, in Ghani. I said that openly and plainly. I thought he was a total crook. I thought he got away with murder. He spent all his time whining and dining our senators. I mean, the senators were in his pocket. That was one of the problems that we had, but I never liked him. And I guess based on his escape with cash, I don't know, maybe that's a true story. I would suspect it is. All you have to do is look at his lifestyle, study his houses where he lives. He got away with murder in many, many different ways. But I had a very, very strong talk with the Taliban, which I considered to be much more important in this sense, because they were the problem, and they've been there for a long time, and they're good fighters, and they fight hard. And after I said that, we had a pretty good conversation. Now, I have to tell you that if you remember when they were coming to Washington to meet with me, they decided to kill an American soldier because they thought that was a good way to negotiate, and I canceled the trip. And we had a conditions-based agreement. And if you remember, it said May 1st, we want to get out because we have to get out. I've listened to people on your show and other shows say we should stay. They don't know. We were spending $42 billion a year. $42 billion. Think of it. $42 billion. I understand Russia spends $50 billion a year for their entire military. We were spending $42 billion, not 1%. They were saying 1%. That's a lot of nonsense. We're spending $42 billion a year on defending this for years and years. We've been there really now, not 20 years, but 21 and a half years. And we get nothing out of any of these things that we do, whether it's them or many other countries I could tell you about. I'm not going to insult anybody right now. But to spend that kind of money and then to have people get on shows and say how inexpensive it was. And I have to tell you also that we lost no soldiers in the last year and a half because of me and because of the understanding that we had. We lost no, think of that, in Chicago and in New York and in other cities in the United States, many people die every weekend. We lost no soldiers in Afghanistan because they knew I wasn't going to put up with it.
Now, the world knew, don't screw with the United States of America. They knew not to screw with him because Donald Trump didn't screw around. Donald Trump made sure that Americans were always safe. Donald Trump made sure that your life had a protective dome over it anywhere in the world. And if you screwed with us, there would be hell to pay.
Hi, I'm Michael Rappaport.
And I'm Kibi Rappaport.
And together we're hosting Rappaport's Reality Podcast.
We have a passion for reality TV, and we're inviting you into our living room.
We're talking tea, we're dissecting the drama, and we're giving praise to the single greatest form of entertainment on television today. That is right. Reality TV is the greatest form of entertainment on television today.
Here are some examples of what you'll hear from us on Rappaport's Reality Podcast.
This is where we discuss all things reality TV, all things popular culture.
And a little bit of Rappaport's reality, the reality of us.
We're figuring out. And if we had been recording these last 4 or 5 days, it would have been
juicy.
Would have taken a left turn.
Listen to Rappaport's Reality with me, Kibi Rappaport.
And me, Michael Rappaport, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcast.
More Than a Movie is back with season 2 of the award-winning film podcast, and this time with a lot more movies. I'm your host, Alex Fumero, and each week I'm going to talk to the people behind some of my favorite movies. From The Godfather, Andy Garcia.
He has the smarts of Vito, the temper of Sonny, the warmth of Fredo, and the coldness of Michael.
To the OG spy kid, Alexa Penavega.
You had Carlo Gugino, who's the coolest mom ever. You had Antonio, who's handsome, amazing, charismatic. And then Carmen and Juni. I felt like a lot of other kids felt like this could be me.
To the legend behind La Bamba, Lou Diamond Phillips.
When I walked in, I didn't think I had a shot at Richie because John Stamos's picture was already up on the wall.
Every episode will feature interviews with the biggest actors, directors, writers, and producers behind your favorite films and tap into the history of Latinos in film. Listen to More Than a Movie as part of the My Cultura Podcast Network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, I'm Jay Shetty, and I'm the host of the On Purpose podcast. On Purpose is dedicated to helping you be happier, healthier, and more healed. This week, I talked to Orlando Bloom in a rare interview where we went deep into how he got comfortable with fear, navigating the changes in relationships, and how to change the guilt and shame thought pattern. This conversation shows a never-seen-before side to Orlando Bloom and his unique life journey.
I think we all struggle sometimes to really deeply believe that we are enough, that we're valued, that we're valuable. You know, we're imprinted by our parents from the age of 0 to 7, right? Mm. I'm constantly trying to go, like, how do I detach from this idea of, is that my baggage? It doesn't look like my baggage. I mean, I know, okay, that's mine. Let's unpack that.
Listen to On Purpose with Jay Shetty on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The dome that was around Americans of protection anywhere in the world was a precedent that every president until Joe Biden has followed. I'll give you an example of how much an American life was not to be screwed with when Donald Trump was the president. He tweeted this out. July 22nd, 2018. To the Iranian president, Rouhani, never, ever threaten the United States again, or you will suffer consequences the likes of which few throughout history have ever suffered before. We are no longer a country that will stand for your demented words. We are no longer a country, Trump then said, that will stand for your demented words of violence and death. Be cautious. Now, Donald Trump can't tweet anything like that anymore, but the Taliban has Twitter accounts that they're using to orchestrate their attacks and kill innocent people. Think about that for a moment with big tech. And you want to know how little this administration values the American lives, the 10 to 20,000 that are now in Afghanistan? And we are now seeing pictures of people being beheaded. We are now seeing pictures of people that are being murdered in the streets. We now know that people are being dismembered in the streets, all caught on video. For example, in Jalalabad, they caught an interpreter that helped American troops. They took him out into the streets. They cut his arms off, and then they beheaded him. They also killed his family. They only spared the 10-year-old daughter of that interpreter, who they then gave to the commander of the Taliban for a sex slave. Of course, they call it a wife, so it's okay. But if you want to know how little your life now matters in the and how little backing you have from the president of the United States of America when it comes to your life, Biden's advisor, and remember, this president has not talked to any world leader. This president has not spoken with anybody while this is going on to try to stop it. He's been on vacation, MIA, for the last 5 days. Intelligence, we now know, and even the New York Times is reporting this as we speak. Their headline, intelligence warned multiple times of Afghan military collapse despite Biden's assurances. This is the New York Times reporting this now. And Biden's advisors has a message for all Americans who are stranded. Quote, you should trust the Taliban for safe passage to the airport. Just when you thought the Biden administration couldn't mess this up anymore, the administration came out on TV and laid out one of the most insane plans that has ever happened in the history of America evacuations. Their plan to evacuate 20,000 or 10,000 or 15,000 American citizens currently stranded in Afghanistan, the National Security Advisor Jake Sullivan held a press conference yesterday and said the Taliban, quote, has informed them that they'll provide, quote, safe passage for Americans to the Kabul airport. So now he expects stranded Americans to just trust the Taliban, who are beheading people and killing people in the streets right now. The same regime that helped plan the 9/11 attacks and fund the 9/11 attacks is who the American citizens are supposed to trust to allow them to go to the airport while they're beheading people in the streets. You cannot make this up. Now, the media, they are trying to give some cover to Joe Biden in this total fiasco. And how they're doing it now is by saying, well, Trump is the one that put this ball into motion. Trump is the one that set the precedent to get out of Afghanistan. That is a lie to get out this way. Donald Trump would have never left Americans behind and would have never. In fact, there was a date to get out and they extended the date because the Taliban didn't keep up their end of the agreement. And Donald Trump was asked about that by Sean Hannity. Listen to how all of this unfolded when he was the president.
You know, it's interesting to listen to Joe Biden blame you. I inherited this deal, he kept saying, but he also inherited secure borders and he also inherited energy independence and he also inherited three vaccines and therapeutics like Regeneron. And we now see what's been unfolding, and he didn't have inflation at the time. I want to go back. I want to be very clear here, because Secretary of State Pompeo on this program said exactly what you did, that there wouldn't be an exit strategy that didn't include the current conditions on the ground. And I have multiple sources, and you're confirming tonight, that it sounds to me like you told the Taliban that if they violated any aspect of this agreement with territorial ambitions, we learned last week that 60% of the country was in their control. And you told them in no uncertain terms, it sounds to me like you would basically treat them like you took care of the caliphate in Syria, ISIS.
Well, we did. We got rid of the caliphate. Everyone said it was impossible, and I did it very quickly, and I let the generals make the decisions. The generals, the real generals, the ones that were over there doing the fighting, the ones that knew how to do it, because we have a lot of generals that shouldn't be generals right now, frankly, and I'm watching them all the time. But we have some great ones. We have great leaders in our military. We have the greatest military in the world. And we're giving it a very bad reputation, what's happening. Think of it. We took this horrible place. I mean, a place that just we shouldn't have been involved. It was a horrible decision going into the Middle East. And I know the Bush family will not be happy, but I believe it was the worst decision in the history of our country when we decided to go into the Middle East. It's turned out to be quicksand. We've destroyed the Middle East. Do you think it's better now than it was 20, 21 years ago? It's much worse. It was a horrible decision. It cost us trillions of dollars. And if you look at both sides, because I like to look at both sides, millions and millions of lives. And it's no different than it was. It's much worse because you have to rebuild it. It's been blown to pieces. The worst decision ever made was going, you can do a strike as retribution. And it could be a big strike as retribution for the World Trade Center, et cetera. But to get stuck in there was like quicksand. So we did a terrible thing. But think of what's happening now. I've heard as many as 40,000 Americans, and the Taliban, good fighters. I will tell you, they're good fighters. We have to give them credit for that. They've been fighting for 1,000 years. That's what they do, is they fight. The Taliban has circled the airport, and who knows if they're going to treat us right. You know, all of a sudden they'll say, well, frankly, if they were smart, they'd really, and they are smart, and they are smart, they should let the Americans out. But we've had situations where you have 2 or 3 or 4 hostages. We could have 40,000 Americans, not to mention others, like people that helped us in Afghanistan. So we've never had a situation like this. We have 40,000 potential hostages, a minimum of 11,000, but it could be as many as 40. No, they have no idea how many. Nobody knows how many.
Now, for those Americans trapped, we are now seeing violence erupting, exactly what you would expect from the Taliban. Jalalabad, Taliban has opened fire on protesters for replacing the group's flag. Hundreds of civilians in Jalalabad have been massacred now to protest the replacement of the national flag, the Afghan flag, in public spaces with the Taliban flag. The Taliban then decided, all right, watch this, and they opened fire into the crowd. Now, these are the same people that are supposed to be protecting American citizens while they're on their way to the airport. An Afghan woman has also been killed for not wearing a burqa, shot in the face after being dragged into the street to make an example of her. This after the Taliban spokesman went on Twitter, the same place that Donald Trump can't tweet from, to make new claims that they are going to, quote, protect women's rights. Again, American lives are basically worth nothing to this president and this White House. And they apparently are totally okay with this happening right now.
Hi, I'm Michael Rappaport.
And I'm Kibi Rappaport.
And together we're hosting Rappaport's Reality Podcast.
We have a passion for reality TV, and we're inviting you into our living room.
We're talking tea, we're dissecting the drama, and we're giving praise to the single greatest form of entertainment on television today. That is right. Reality TV is the greatest form of entertainment on television today.
Here are some examples of what you'll hear from us on Rappaport's Reality Podcast.
This is where we discuss all things reality TV, all things popular culture.
And a little bit of Rappaport's reality, the reality of us.
We're figuring out. And if we had been recording these last 4 or 5 days, it would have been,
juicy.
The podcast would have taken a left turn.
Listen to Rappaport's Reality with me, Kibi Rappaport.
And me, Michael Rappaport, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcast.
More Than a Movie is back with season 2 of the award-winning film podcast, and this time with a lot more movies. I'm your host, Alex Fumero, and each week I'm going to talk to the people behind some of my favorite movies. From The Godfather, Andy Garcia.
He has the smarts of Vito, the temper of Sonny, the warmth of Fredo, and the coldness of Michael.
To the OG spy kid, Alexa Penavega.
You had Carlo Gugino, who's the coolest mom ever. You had Antonio, who's handsome, amazing, charismatic. And then Carmen and Juni. I felt like a lot of other kids felt like this could be me.
To the legend behind La Bamba, Lou Diamond Phillips.
When I walked in, I didn't think I had a shot at Richie because John Stamos's picture was already up on the wall.
Every episode will feature interviews with the biggest actors, directors, writers, and producers behind your favorite films and tap into the history of Latinos in film. Listen to More Than a Movie as part of the My Cultura Podcast Network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, I'm Jay Shetty, and I'm the host of the On Purpose podcast. On Purpose is dedicated to helping you be happier, healthier, and more healed. This week, I talked to Orlando Bloom in a rare interview where we went deep into how he got comfortable with fear, navigating the changes in relationships, and how to change the guilt and shame thought pattern. This conversation shows a never-seen-before side to Orlando Bloom and his unique life journey.
I think we all struggle sometimes to really deeply believe that we are enough, that we're valued, that we're valuable. You know, we're imprinted by our parents from the age of 0 to 7, right? Mm. I'm constantly trying to go like, how do I detach from this idea of is that my baggage? It doesn't look like my baggage. I mean, I know, okay, that's mine. Let's unpack that.
Listen to On Purpose with Jay Shetty on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcasts.
It is a disaster at the White House, and Jen Psaki did exactly what you would not want a press secretary to do. I want to also make something very clear. I am not rooting against Joe Biden right now. I want America and American citizens to be safely removed from Afghanistan. I don't want them to fail. I want them to succeed. I've said this for years, even when Obama was president. I want their foreign policy to protect Americans, defend Americans, and I want us to succeed. I don't want Americans to be left behind so I can say, aha, see, I told you Joe Biden sucked. We already know how bad of a president he is. He's a guy that's just disappeared. He clearly can't handle the capacity of what it takes to be the president of the United States of America. The proof of it is the last 5 days. He's just abandoned his people. He's abandoned the country. I remember the debate we had about who's going to take the phone call at 3 a.m. with Hillary Clinton. Hell, who's taking the phone call at 3 p.m.? The White House has confirmed he's talked to no foreign leaders. The White House has confirmed he's been on vacation. The White House has confirmed he has not talked to virtually anybody. He's basically said, I don't know what to do with this. I'm right, but you guys figure it out. And the White House press secretary was asked by a reporter, hey, are Americans even going to make it out of Afghanistan? Because you guys are acting like their lives don't matter. Take a listen to her response.
You mentioned at the top that about 700 people have been evacuated mm-hmm. in the past 24 hours. Pentagon officials, including Press Secretary John Kirby, expect that number to increase to 5,000 to 9,000 a day. Can you talk about what needs to happen between now and then to ramp the number up and when you expect to hit it?
Sure, Weijia, that's a good question. I think what I had been referring to just a few minutes ago was the fact that our focus has been on securing not just the perimeter of the airport, but also operational capacity at the airport, which of course is a Department of Defense operation they're overseeing in coordination with the State Department. And so because we've had success in that regard, we are hopeful and expect to expedite additional flights out. So that was not the place where we were at this time yesterday. And given we've made progress in this regard, we are hopeful to increase the number of people, American citizens, SIV applicants, and others that we can get out of the country.
It's our understanding that Americans have been called for, but mm-hmm. it's up to them to travel there at their own risk.
Their own risk. You hear this, right? Think about what this reporter just said. Hey, you're telling Americans to go to the airport. You've called them the airport, but you're telling them to go basically have to fight their way through the Taliban, who is beheading people at their own risk.
Why isn't the U.S. providing any support, any transportation for them to get to Kabul?
Well, I would just go back to what our national security advisor discussed as it relates to the Taliban and discussions with them about safe passage for people who are coming to the airport. We've also seen, I don't have an exact number for you, I'm sure the Department of Defense and State Department can provide that, but a large number of American citizens and others making their way successfully to the airport over the course of the last 24 hours.
Just one more.
By the way, I love this. They're like, well, we had a couple people that made it, like, you know, a couple hundred. Really? That's so the other 20,000-30,000, what about them? In the last 24 hours, we also know that the Taliban has been shooting people around the airport while America is basically held hostage within inside of it. Our troops are only protecting the interior of the airport, not the exterior, and we have no roads under our control. All the roads leading to the airport from the entire country, which is the size of what, Texas? The entire country, every road that leads to the one airport in that country we're saying go to if you're an American citizen, is locked down by the Taliban. Now, let me go back to Trump for just a second, because we've just got new reports coming out of Kabul now that the Taliban is searching people's cell phones. And they're killing you if on your cell phone they find the Bible. Many people in Afghanistan downloaded on their phones the Bible app or Bible apps. And they're grabbing those phones. And if they find the Bible app on your phone, the Taliban is killing those people, is what we are being told right now. Now, that could be an American citizen, too. What would Donald Trump have done differently if the Taliban started doing this when he was president? He was asked that by Sean Hannity. And listen to his response.
Let me go back to the words you used to the Taliban leader. because we knew last week that 60% of the country had already been taken over by the Taliban. And there was no sense of urgency to me. Under your plan, if they had taken over 5%, not 60, like they had last, 5% that was not in your agreement, what would have happened to them?
We would have hit them very hard. Again, the words are conditions, plural, conditions based. It was an agreement where actually we wanted to get out by May 1st and they violated the agreement. So we didn't. It's a great agreement from a lot of different standpoints. And frankly, Biden didn't have to even go by that agreement. He could have done. Look what he's done to the border. We had the greatest border, southern border in the history of our country. We stopped drugs. We stopped human trafficking. We stopped people from coming in, prisoners from coming in. Now you'll have, I mean, you have the worst people in the world. They're emptying their jails into our country. This is like the southern border, but it's handled even worse. Nobody handled the southern border worse than him. We had the most secure border we've ever had. Now we have by far the worst border we've ever had. Well, Afghanistan is the exact same thing. To think of this, we have a military. It's holding it. You know, I got it reduced down to 2,500 soldiers, and they were doing a good job. It was fine. It was a smaller force. I took it down from close to 20 to 2,500, and we were fine. But we have the military there, and we take the military out before we took our civilians out and before we took the interpreters and other. We want to try and help. But by the way, I'm America first, okay? The Americans come out first. But we're also going to help people that helped us. And we have to be very careful with the vetting because you have some rough people in there. But we're going to help those people. But can you imagine? Now, what we were going to do just very quickly is we were going to take the military out last, okay, last. The people were coming out. They were going to come out. But the agreement was violated. So I held things back because we weren't going to do anything, again, conditions based. So well, they weren't fulfilling their obligations and conditions. But here's just to finish. The people come out first. Then I was going to take all of the military equipment. We have billions and billions of dollars worth of new Black Hawk helicopters, brand new, that Russia now will be examining. And so will China. And so will everybody else to figure it because it's the greatest in the world. We have brand new army tanks and all sorts of equipment, missiles. We have everything. I was going to take it out because I knew they weren't going to fight. Just one thing, and I have to say, and this is different from everyone else. I said, why are they fighting? Why are these Afghan soldiers fighting against the Taliban? And I was told some very bad information by a lot of different people. The fact is, they're among the highest paid soldiers in the world. They were doing it for a paycheck because once we stopped, once we left, they stopped fighting. So all of the people that talk about the bravery and everything, I say everybody's brave. But the fact is, our country was paying the Afghan soldiers a fortune. So we were sort of bribing them to fight. And that's not what it's all about. It's a great thing that we're getting out, but nobody has ever handled a withdrawal worse than Joe Biden. This is the greatest embarrassment, I believe, in the history of our country.
So when you hear the media say, oh, well, really, this is Trump's fault. Donald Trump's policy was completely different than Joe Biden's. Donald Trump would have never allowed this to happen. And Donald Trump would have made sure that Americans were not left behind. Donald Trump would have made sure that if the Taliban screwed with just one American, it would have been game over. Donald Trump would have made sure that Americans were not harmed the way that they were not screwed with when he was the president of the United States of America. That is a fact. His policy was not get out by an arbitrary date either. He moved that date. When things change. You adapt. But now the Taliban controls the whole country and 10 to 20,000, maybe even more Americans' lives are at risk. They're on kill lists. And people are being drugged from their homes, beheaded and murdered. And people who have the Bible app on their phone are being drugged out into the streets and killed. And there isn't a single road that you can get to the airport that isn't controlled by the Taliban with checkpoints to kill you. And the U.S. government of Joe Biden is doing not a damn thing to save these American lives. He is unfit to be commander-in-chief. Make sure, as I've said before, please share this podcast with your family and friends. Subscribe to this podcast so you can listen to it each and every day for free. I'll see you guys back here tomorrow, and pray for the Americans that are stuck behind enemy lines right now in Afghanistan.
More Than a Movie is back with Season 2. I'm your host, Alex Fumero. And each week, I'm going to talk to the people behind your favorite movies. From The Godfather, Andy Garcia.
He has the smarts of Vito, the temper of Sonny, the warmth of Fredo, and the coldness of Michael.
To the legend behind La Bamba, Lou Diamond Phillips.
When I walked in, I didn't think I had a shot at Richie because John Stamos's picture was already up on the wall.
Listen to More Than a Movie on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi, I'm Michael Rappaport.
And I'm Kibi Rappaport.
And together we're hosting Rappaport's Reality Podcast.
We have a passion for reality TV, and we're inviting you into our living room.
We're dissecting the drama, and we're giving praise to the single greatest form of entertainment on television today. That is right. Reality TV is the greatest form of entertainment on television today.
Listen to Rappaport's Reality with me, Kibi Rappaport.
And me, Michael Rappaport, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcast.
Hey, I'm Jay Shetty, and I'm the host of the On Purpose podcast. This week, I talked to Orlando Bloom in a rare interview where we went deep into how to get comfortable with fear and how to change the guilt and shame thought pattern.
People say, what are you afraid of, right? I'm afraid of fear because it's like I want to confront anything in my life that feels challenging on those levels.
Listen to On Purpose with Jay Shetty on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcasts.